working with state machines to implement well-defined and efficient program flows. Are you having issues choosing which peripherals run first or second in your design? Or how about the scenario of running a timer to control your sensors in the middle of program execution? These examples can be solved by properly defined yet simple state machines. Simple bare metal microcontroller code runs on the basis of a never-ending loop. This situation is unlike what's being employed on more complex systems such as embedded OSS or CPUs, where several tasks or threads run along with each other. Each of these tasks and threads has its own main loop. As simple systems need only simple, easy-to-understand code, there's no point in implementing complex systems, and this is where basic state machines may come into play. Part 1. What is a state machine? A state machine is a graphical representation of states, transitions, and input and output parameters of a given process or function. It's a very useful tool in engineering as it can both abstract and simplify processes. Consider a fairly simple state machine for pressing a button. There are two states here, namely read underscore button and next underscore state. The read underscore button state continues to be in its current state while its digital red pin input is zero. Once the digital red pin input becomes one, a transition to the next state occurs. Simple state machines can be applied to everyday embedded products such as vending machines, coffee makers, washing machines, and the like. More complicated state machines can be found on computers or home entertainment systems. The next part discusses more scenarios on implementing state machines on an embedded system such as the Arduino. Part 2. Example scenarios in using a state machine. Controlling the speed and direction of a fan using a temperature and an IR sensor. Inputting data on an LCD with a touchscreen interface. Implementing a motion sensor to consecutively light up the steps of a staircase. Implementing a mechanical arm that can pick up certain objects. Assigning a task after an ultrasonic sensor detects obstacles. With these examples, we can have some idea of what kind of state machine to write for a given application. Continue reading the next part for an example. Part 3. Example code using a state machine. Here we have a DHT11 sensor, a push-button switch, and an OLED display all hooked up to an Arduino Mega. The DHT11 is both a temperature and humidity sensor connected via a one-wire serial interface. The old screen is 1/28 64 pixels interfaced through I2C. The DHT11 is a slow capacitive type sensor that must be timed at least 2 seconds before capturing data. After acquiring both humidity and temperature data, it will be displayed on the OLED screen. The user has the option of displaying the temperature in Fahrenheit or Celsius by pressing a push-button switch. Here is a simplified state machine for this design. Here are the states and their functions. Read underscore DHT11, responsible for reading the DHT11 sensor. Wait underscore 2S, responsible for running a Miller's timer that counts up to 2 secs to produce the delay required by the DHT11 sensor. Check underscore button. This state is for checking a user button press to be able to switch temperature units. Debounce, a state with another timer function to debounce the switch press and toggle the temperature unit. Display underscore old. This state is responsible for displaying temperature and humidity with the desired unit. Here's the code. Note that the explanation for the DHT11 and the OLED codes are reserved for another topic. The main state machine code of interest is here. The state machine states are declared at the beginning of the code by an enumeration. Looking closely, all the states are laid out in a switch case statement. For some, a condition must arise before state transition occurs, while for others, it's enough to run a couple of lines of code before transitioning. The code could lazily be written with delay 2000 for the DHT timer and delay 300 for the switch debounce without any state machine, as can be seen below. This would miss the point of a well-defined and efficient program flow. If you do this, it will be very hard to catch the button press, or you'll have to press it for a longer time, which can be uncomfortable for some users. This will also waste precious MCU instruction cycles just by using the blocking delay functions. Part 4. Summary. This article explained basic state machines and their uses. It's a practical tool if you're having problems lining up or timing your sensors to run in your code. Once you learn how to implement efficient state machines, you'll be equipped with more flexibility in planning your program flow with the added bonus of saving precious MCU instruction cycles. For more information and resources such as code snippets, diagrams, videos, images, tables, and graphs, head to phippselectronics.com and look up the blog article titled "Working with State Machines to Implement Well-Defined and Efficient Program Flows." Phipps Electronics is an Australian online electronics retailer offering thousands of products. Have a browse today at phippselectronics.com.